are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Well, hey, good morning, church. Great to be with you. My name is Scott. If we've not met here, I get to serve as the interim teaching pastor here, so it's great to be with you. I don't typically do this. I want to offer just a quick piece of clarification on one of the announcements they just made. We're talking about Christmas Eve services. So excited. It's going to be a great time. Bring friends, family, bring your kids. She said that, like, if your kids are a little rambunctious and going crazy, we have a black box to put them in. I want to be clear about what that means. So it's not an actual black box. We have a room next to here that's called the Black Box Theater. It's a duplicate footprint of the stage. It's over there. So it's a room. It's not actually a black box. So I didn't want to save all the emails and people going, "Well, I'm not going to that church." Or some of you are like, "Seriously? They have a black box I can put my kid in?" Like, no. So just a little clarification on what the black box is. So if you're just joining us and brand new here, welcome. We're in a series. We're calling it the Advent series not because it's some churchy thing, because we are joining thousands of churches around the world as they have celebrated Advent for years, thousands of years. Advent means arrival. It's just a fancy word that means arrival. It's what we look at this time of year, anticipating the arrival of Jesus. And here's what's interesting. Even if you didn't grow up, in church and going to church, you know that the Christmas season is about Jesus and welcoming Jesus into and celebrating his birthday and welcoming him into the world. Advent is this thing that's bigger than, you know, than Amazon and bigger than the season and bigger than toys and gifts and all the stuff. Advent is this anticipation of the arrival of Jesus on the planet. And so that's what Advent means. That's what it is. And every week, Advent leading up to Christmas usually is marked by the same theme. So week one, we looked at this idea of hope that, even the Jews were looking in anticipation in hope of a Messiah. And so we looked week one at hope. And then last week we looked at peace and how Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Christmas is this weird thing because I screwed up the picture of the nativity, because yes, there was peace in this cute little nativity, but there was this cosmic battle being fought in the heavens to actually be able to bring peace. That war had to be fought and won so that we could have peace. Today, we're looking at the next week of Advent, and we're looking at this theme of joy. And so here's what I want you to do. We're going to take 30 seconds and do this. And this isn't like a rhetorical, like, "Oh, you should do this." I actually want you to do this. If you're at home watching online, I want you to do this too. If you're driving and there's somebody else in the car, I want you to look at the person next to you and have this quick conversation. It's only going to take about 30 seconds. Yes, you're in church and you can talk in church. Like, you can talk this part, okay? So I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you to just turn to the people closest to you and just answer the question pretty quickly on what comes to mind when I ask this question, all right? I love asking this question of people that I've known for a long time. We did this series talking about, like, our stories. I love the question, "What's your story?" I do that when I'm meeting people. This is a great question when you know someone, right? This question is this: what brings you joy? Like, what brings you joy? All right, so there's your discussion question. You get 30 seconds with the people around you, people in your car or on your sofa. Do that. Turn to them real quick. What brings you joy? Ready, set, go. Go. All right, you've only got like another 10 seconds. Okay. It's an interesting question, because for some of you, like, you revealed something big and like aha for the very first time. Other people, you can answer for the people around you. But I love the question because for some people, it's something small. Others, it's something big. It's a vacation. It's something little. It's a, you know, or it's something giant. I don't know. It's different for all of us. I had a weird experience Friday night. My wife and I were walking out of the funeral home. We'd been at a funeral home for about 45 minutes visiting some friends who she had lost her dad in the last week, a battle with brain cancer, on the heels of losing her mom just months ago, a battle with Alzheimer's. As we walked out of the funeral home, I took my glasses off and I was wiping my tears. And my wife turned to me and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, yeah, I am. I have not laughed that hard in months." And some of you right now are thinking, "You're a sicko. Like, what are you talking about?" Yeah, 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 yeah. That's what I said to her. I was like, I'm wiping my tears because I had stood there and we had stood in this funeral home connecting with these people that we had known for like 30 years, right? Like her husband, our friend whose parents had died, her husband stood at our wedding. Like he was with me in our wedding party. And so as we're visiting them, and I mean, this is like a crazy hard moment for their family. We stood there and we started hearing stories about like the road trip that she took with her mom and dad just a couple years ago, right after COVID. And they visited this childhood, you know, place that they all vacationed, just her and her two brothers. And they went there and talked about like visiting this and reliving those memories. But then, you know, like they rented a motorhome and did all these things and had a blast. And she was making us laugh. And then we started reliving our own memories and times that we had spent together and things that we had done. And we've not even lived in the same community in 20 some years with this couple, but we just start laughing and reliving all these memories, all while standing there in the funeral home in a peak moment of tragedy for their family. And yet in that moment, as I walked out of there, you know, wiping these tears from my eyes, you know, my wife saying, "Are you okay?" And I remember saying to her, I was like, "I feel kind of guilty. Like, I feel kind of guilty because like we're getting ready to go on a date and we're going to Applebee's and like we're like, I'm sitting here laughing and we're experiencing this joy. And yet they're in the moment of this crisis." But here's what struck me, even as we stood there, you know, and she's there next to her dad who had just passed, there was still this spark of joy in her. Number one, because she knows where he is. He was a pastor for many, many years and had actually ministered to folks in that very funeral home. He'd worked for that funeral home. And the people that were coming through there were sharing memories with her of how he had cared for their family. And that brought her joy. So even in the midst of her moment of crisis and like, "Oh, this is so hard," she was experiencing joy. And it hit me like on Friday, I'm like, "Oh, I'm speaking on joy this weekend." And like, "Oh, this is so weird. I'm wiping tears from laughter at a funeral home." That joy supersedes happiness. That joy can trump happiness. Joy can trump actually even like darkness and death. Here's the distinction, and I read this week. Happiness depends upon what happens. Think about that for a second. Happiness depends upon what happens. I'm happy if I win my pickleball tournament, right? Because of what happened. If I didn't win, I'm not as happy. I'm just sore and grumpy, right? So happiness depends upon what happens. But joy, I go out and play golf and shoot, you know, really good, but I lose by 8 strokes to the people that I'm playing with, I don't care. I shot my best match ever, right? I experienced joy. It doesn't matter what happened. I'm still experiencing joy. Joy isn't tied to what happens. Joy is tied to something bigger. Joy is tied to something deeper, more meaningful. Joy is connected to God and his identity and who he says we are, not what happened. We're going to look at scripture this morning. We're going to look at a couple passages that deal specifically with Christmas and the Christmas story, and it's going to reveal moments of joy in this Christmas story. So if you brought a Bible and you want to turn with us, we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke is in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke is where we're at. Luke chapter 1 in the New Testament. And we're picking this story up with Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, here's what had just happened. We're going to start in verse 39 and take off from there. So let me give you the precursor of what has just happened. Mary is hanging out and an angel comes to her, gives her some pretty interesting news. Hey, Mary, you're pregnant. People are going to love you. They're going to say your name. They're going to name their kids after you. There's going to build statues and churches named after you. Like, it's going to be amazing because not only are you pregnant, like, you're pregnant with God's son. Like, that's who is in you. One more thing. Like, your relative Elizabeth, like, to kind of put the stamp on this thing to show you that this is real, like Elizabeth, and Mary's like, yeah, Elizabeth, yeah, she's had trouble getting pregnant her whole life. And the angel's like, yeah, got it. She's actually pregnant already. She's gonna give birth before you because you kind of need a mentor. And so she's gonna give birth to, and you probably ought to go talk to her because she's pregnant, you're pregnant. Good luck, Mary, I'm out. That's what had just kind of happened. That's my take on it. You can read what the real text says, but that's kind of what has just happened. So the angel and Mary have this conversation, and now we get to verse 39. At that time, we learn, Mary got ready, and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home, and she greeted Elizabeth, because Elizabeth was that person that the angel said, she's also pregnant. Mary's like, I gotta go get to the bottom of this, because I hope Elizabeth knows, but if she doesn't know, I need to tell her, and I need to give her my news as well. When Elizabeth, who's there, heard Mary's greeting, shows up at the door, the baby that she was pregnant with leaped in her womb. Then Elizabeth has this moment where Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a crazy moment. Can you imagine like the time span, like Mary's afternoon? What'd you do today? Well, angel showed up, told me I'm pregnant. Joseph, I gotta tell him, he's not gonna like this. This is a crazy thing. But just like, because I'm freaking out, I go to Elizabeth and turns out I walk in the door and Elizabeth goes, whoa, like what's happening? And it's like the first like in utero play date that's happening, because here, like Mary's got a baby in her, like Elizabeth has a baby in her, and that baby's like, hey, like what's going on? Like that baby senses something, leaps inside of her. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, says this. In a loud voice, she explained. And now she's given wisdom from Elizabeth, from the Holy Spirit. Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Wait, so Elizabeth is now revealing and communicating, this is so cool, what the angel had said, because Elizabeth said, why am I so favored that the Lord would come to me? And Mary's like, oh, I didn't even tell you. Like, I just said hello. I didn't tell you what was in here, but you just told me the same thing the angel said minutes ago, giving Mary confidence that she's really carrying the Savior of the world. Who am I that my Lord should come to me? Because Mary, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her. Here's what's wild. There is a physiological response. There is a response from the baby that we now know is John the Baptist. We later read that this is John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb, right? And so they had many play dates later together. And then there's this really cool moment where John and Jesus are together as adults. And there's kind of Jesus's moment where he starts his ministry. It's a really cool moment later. But this moment happens without a word ever being spoken. Think about this. John in Elizabeth's tummy, we'll give the kid version, right? John in Elizabeth's tummy leaps for joy at the presence of Jesus without a word being spoken. What does that say about the presence of Jesus when he lives in a person and enters into a room? Think about that for just a second. What does that say about the presence of Jesus who lives in a person when that person enters into the room? Mary, who was indwelled with Jesus as she entered into the room without saying a word, is a minister of joy. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, someone likely explained to you, even as a child, here's what we say to kids. Do you want to ask Jesus into your what? In your heart. We say that as a metaphor so kids understand that we invite Jesus in to live in us and to dwell in us. And so even as kids, we explain so that Jesus will live in your heart. Jesus said, and we looked at this last week, he said, I don't give gifts as the world gives. I'm leaving and I'm giving you the Holy Spirit and he will dwell in you. So Jesus lives in us. So as we, as followers of Jesus, enter into a room, here's what's awesome. You know what we bring with us? Joy. He dwells in us and we bring that. Now, which means I think we have to pay attention to what's on our face and the words that we say that come from our mouth so that we don't confuse people. Because if there's a supernatural thing that happens, that he lives in us, as we walk into a room, we bring joy. If the look on our face says something different and the words that come out of our mouth or the words that come out of our thumbs, thank you very much, says something different, we just confuse the people around us. Because by design, we're instruments of joy. So this first thought when it comes to the story is that we have to be cautious and recognize this. We have to recognize that his presence living in us brings joy to other people. And here's the good news. Like, this is crazy. We don't even have to say a word. He does the heavy lifting. There was a study done here at Mission Point. A couple years ago, right? You guys brought some folks in town. You all filled out some surveys and some questionnaires and said, what's the number one reason we don't share Jesus with the people around us? The number one reason from this church, from you all, the number one reason people cited was they said they didn't know enough. They felt like they didn't know enough to be able to share Jesus with others. How many words did Jesus use in utero to cause John to leap? Zero. The pressure is not on us to bring joy to the world. He's already done it. He comes, lives in us, dwells in us, and then he just makes us his instruments to go, why don't you just work your way around the community and just spread joy? I'll do the work. So the first thing we need to do is we need to recognize his presence. Secondly, let's go on in the story, Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary's response then to Elizabeth, who says this. Mary's like, that's a lot to take in. So here's what Mary does. Mary says this, my soul glorifies the Lord. This is Mary coming to grips with what has just been told to her by the angel, now confirmed by Elizabeth. Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My spirit is giving joy and expressing joy to God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Like, I get statues and churches and cathedrals named after me. Whoa. But she recognizes in that moment, it's for her, but it's not about her. Because look at what she says next. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. And holy is my name. My name's gonna be on the church, but it's not about my name. It's about his name. And then she does something really interesting. We see this pattern throughout scripture. When I first got serious about my faith, I was reading the Bible and I would get frustrated because I'd be flipping through the Old Testament and I'd be reading a passage and it's just gonna give me these battles. And then God did this and he overcame this and he beat these people and he destroyed this and he helped out with this and he cured this and he fixed this. I'm like, okay, let me just go to a different section and read something. Okay, got it. And I would go to the next section and it would tell me, and then God did this, he destroyed these people, he killed this, he made this happen, he helped these people. I'm like, okay, I get it. And it was this pattern of just over and over and over, these lists of battles that God fought and won, these people that God helped, and all of the things where God overcame time and time again. And then later on, I realized, well, that must be there for a reason. That God was reminding us throughout his word, these lists of things that he had done over and over and over, and how he had won. So surely the New Testament must be different because we figured it out in the Old Testament. But look what Mary does. Mary's like, God is so good and he picked me out. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. She does what we looked at last week. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, right? The prophecy foretold, and his origins are from old. So he's from Bethlehem. That's his address on his birth certificate, but he is from way before that. So Mary ties into that and goes from generation to generation, and then she keeps going. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and she just goes Old Testament. Here's what he's done. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham. And when you see Abraham thrown down in the New Testament, you know that's a big deal. She's going way back. Right? Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. Like she's going way, way back. Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Let me ask you this. Do you have stories of God's faithfulness? Can you remember God's faithfulness? It may be a stretch sometimes. You may be in a season where you're like, no, I don't. There may be seasons where it's hard to remember. But what would happen if we had recall? And what would happen if we wrote those down? Like, this is where God was faithful here. This is where God was faithful here. And if we'll stop for just a moment and think about those times when he delivered, when he came through, they become the fuel for joy. We were going through something a couple years ago and there was some financial stuff that was like, you know, you have a season where it's just tight, right? And I remember Dana was gone and like something happened, like I'd gotten an email and then I'd gotten a phone call and then I'd gotten a text message and I just started to write this down and I had a 3x5 card and I'm writing down how God had provided. And then I had to turn the card over. And I'm like, oh, and then there was this one other time, this one other time, this one other time. And I remember she got home and she walked in the door and she looked at me and she goes, is everything okay? Because I was sitting at the table and I'm holding this 3x5 card and I was like, I need to read this to you. She goes, what is it? I was like, no, it's good. I'm remembering. Here's God's faithfulness. I'm remembering this. So yes, there's this crazy right now, but you know what? Look at this. This is where he was faithful. I think we're going to be okay. It's what Mary was doing. Mary was like, I'm pregnant. I have to tell Joseph, like an angel told me. And Elizabeth, she's like, well, how's this going to go? But wait, well, let me remember. God won this battle and God won this battle. God won this and fainted it and then did this. Hey, my soul magnifies the Lord. Because I don't get how all this is happening. This is crazy. And I'm like a teenager. This is mind blowing. But guess what? If he could do that over and over and over and over and over and over, I bet he's got this one. And the principle is this. Sometimes we just have to, number one, recognize his presence. But secondly, we have to remember his faithfulness. And if you're struggling today And if you're in a season where it's like, I don't know, I'm not sure how this is gonna work out, maybe I'm just gonna suggest an exercise. Grab a 3x5 card and sit and ask God, Lord, when were you faithful again? Help me remember. Help remember when you were faithful. And remember his faithfulness and allow that to bring about joy. Mary was modeling for us and giving us instruction. She's like, I don't know what's about ready to happen, but I do know this. God is faithful and he is over and over and over, he has won. Last, there's these characters that show up in the Bible in the Christmas story. We call them the three wise men. We don't really know how wise they were. We don't know if there were three. We don't know really where they were from. There's lots of speculation around who they were and how they got there and what was their origin. Were they from different countries? And there's a lot of other writings that you can study about that. Nobody's, you know, completely conclusive, but we get some clues in scripture about who these guys were. And here's what we know. They were anticipating in Advent. They were anticipating God doing something. We know that. Because they're looking up, and so astronomy was a thing, and God had promised and given prophetic word that there'd be a star, there would be indicators, and so they're anticipating, they're having their own little Advent thing, they're anticipating in the stars and in the heavens, God doing something. And so God does. He puts the star in the sky because people were looking for him. And he clues these guys in, and so they're like, oh, there it is, and they see the star, and they follow the star, and then they go to Herod, and I'm giving you the cliff notes because we're gonna jump in at verse 9. They go to Herod, and they're like, where's the king? Where's the baby that was born? There was a king, it was foretold. Where is he? Because we saw the star, and now apparently the star went into hiding. Apparently it's not there anymore because it got him to Herod, but now they don't know where he is. So they go to Herod, and they're like, Herod, like, where's the king? Where's this one? And Herod is like, oh, another king. Okay, I got this. He was like, the scriptures say, these other guys told me he's going to be born in Bethlehem, which is about 5 miles from where the king was. He was like, why don't you go find him and then come back and tell me so I can go worship him? And he's trying to trick these guys, right? Because he wanted to kill Jesus, and maybe, just maybe, there's a prophecy saying that there is someone who wants to devour the baby. We read that last week, right? That maybe, just maybe, Herod was a part of that thing that the enemy was trying to use to get to Jesus. So he's trying to trick those guys and says, why don't you go find him, come back and tell me, and I'll go worship him. I bet he's in Bethlehem because that's what these other scriptures told. So the wise men, here's what happens. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. We're in verse 9. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, here's what's interesting. In every like children's story and the VeggieTales version and all the versions, we get that that these magi, these wise men, were following a star. But the text doesn't say they were following the star. The text says it went ahead of them. They were on their way to Bethlehem. So they're not following the star at this point. What they're following is the scriptures, what the scriptures say. And there's this really interesting take on that I read this week that I think is so worth pointing out. That sometimes when we can't see the star, sometimes when we can't see the way, we need to follow scripture and what it says. You ever had those seasons where you don't see the way out? You don't see how it's going to resolve itself? You can't figure out which way is north, which way is south? If we don't know, if it can't be revealed to us and we're not seeing it, then lean into scripture, which is what they did. Because they don't see the star at this point. We know that because of what happens next. They don't actually see the star. We can still tell that. We can still read that to our kids. It's fine. I don't think we're like leading them astray. We can say they followed the star because they did. They followed where they thought it was, but they also were following God's word, which said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. So by faith, they're going to Bethlehem. And then here's what it says. Verse 10, when they saw the star... So the star reveals itself over Bethlehem. Fellas, we're in the right place. I'm looking for the star. I'm looking for the star. And one of them's like, hey, oh, it's right there. It's like, oh, we're here. It says they were overjoyed. Woohoo! Like, we found it. They experienced this joy. Now, caution here for just one second, because I told you we have to be careful that our joy isn't hinged upon and linked to circumstances. It was revealed to them pretty quickly. They had been chasing a star, but guess what they found? They were overjoyed when they saw the star. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. Look at this. They bowed down and they worshiped him. They realized the star wasn't the object. The star is what they had been chasing. And they were overjoyed and excited, but then when they saw the baby, they saw Mary and they realized he was the Messiah, they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Here's the question, what are we chasing? Are we chasing happiness that depends upon what happens? Or are we chasing a star, which is really, the star is just the indicator of the Messiah, because it's his presence that makes a difference in our lives. We know that because when they actually saw him, here's what they did. It's what we think probably happened. It's our picture of what happened. It says they bowed down and they actually, in that moment, then they worshiped him because they're like, the star is super cool. And one of them's like, yeah, it's right here. And they're like, oh, this is the one. This is him. And then it says they worshiped him and then they gave what they had. Bob, what'd you bring? Oh, I got frankincense. Josh, you know, gold. Steve, myrrh. Like, okay, here you go. I don't know what their names were, but like, here you go. Like, we're just going to give what we brought. We're going to give this. And like, we don't carry around gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And if you do, that's weird, but like we don't carry that around. But here's what do we have? We have everything that we've been given. And I think when we recognize who he really is and when we find him, we'll realize he deserves everything. He deserves our worship. This is what I've got. I'm like, okay, here's my stuff. Here's my time, my talent, my treasure. That's the words we use now. Right, this is it. You can have it, because you're it. Your presence changes everything. You're gonna give your life. I know that. Like, I've read the end of, like, you get, like, wow. If we know that Jesus came. And we wanna experience real joy. Let's not just stare at the star. Because if it gets cloudy, we don't experience joy. Let's look at him. Let's focus on him. Instead, let's remember his faithfulness and let's respond to him with worship. Let's respond to him not just with, wow, that's awesome. Let's instead respond to him with worship. Here's the thing. I think. The word worship, I talked to our worship team this morning about this. I think the word worship has been hijacked. I think it's been taken hostage by, K-Love and Star 88.3. I think they have hijacked worship, the word worship, because we boil worship down into music and songs. It is a piece. It's one of the ways we express our worship. But I don't think, like, we don't have record of the wise men, right, singing the latest Hillsong song at the manger, right? Like, oh, but I, you know, one of the three wise men, because it was like, one of them was like, oh, I want elevation worship. The other one was like, I like Hillsong. The other one was like, I like bluegrass. Like, it wasn't about music preference. It's not music. It's they were like, here's what I have. I'm going to bring this. And they worshiped him. They brought their gifts. And so what do? My fear is that we, and I've done it, I'll admit to it, we boil our worship down to just like a song or two and then we just go about our day. And then we wonder, why are we not experiencing joy? So what if we actually responded with worship? What if we gave him our lives? Yes, we're gonna sing a song and end our service. But that's not the end of the service. It's the beginning of our week. It's the end of our time together where we gather, and then we go out and we take Christ who lives in us, if he lives in us, and we use that where we live, learn, work, and pray, play, and we take joy. Oh, here we go. It's going to sound cheesy, but then we take joy into the world. That's what we do. That's what we're supposed to do. That's why we sing Joy to the World, because that's our mission. To bring joy to the world. Well, but Scott, but I don't know what to say and I don't know how to do that. Yeah, here's what's awesome. If he lives in you, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. It worked out pretty good for Mary. We don't have to. He lives in us. He'll give us the words to say. He'll teach us. He'll instruct us. He'll guide us. He'll put us in the places where he wants us to go and then give us the words he wants us to say if we need to say anything. Let me explain this too. If you're like, oh, that's awesome, that's great. So people have Jesus living in them. They take joy into the world. What about me? Like, I just found this place, like, and it was cold, and I came in here, and my friend said this would be a good place to come. I'm still new to the Jesus thing. I got news for you. He came to bring joy to the world. Everyone. Oh, not me. You don't know what I've done. Yeah, I don't know what you've done. I don't care. It's not worse than some of the other people in this room. Yeah, but it was really bad. Okay, fine. He came to bring joy to the world, asterisk, except for you. No, you are not that bad that you're the exception to the world. He came to bring joy to the world, even to you. It's available to you. So let's do this. I want to invite you to stand. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. Yeah, that was real. Like, go ahead and stand up. I'm gonna invite you to stand because here's how we're gonna end our time. We're gonna end our time this morning. We're gonna respond with worship. I thought you said it wasn't singing. No, I didn't say it wasn't singing. I said it's the beginning. It's the easiest fruit to pick, right? So we can express that with our voices, and then we go out and we launch from here and we take joy into the world. We take joy into the world. So I'm gonna pray, and then these guys are gonna lead us. Some of them, I don't know where they are. They're gonna lead us in the song, Joy to the World. And then we're gonna sing another one after that, but two songs. They're gonna lead us in the song, bringing joy into the world. And listen to the lyrics now. And as you sing them, they're gonna seem a little different because we now understand joy a little differently, hopefully, than what we did 25 minutes ago. But that's our mission, is to bring joy into the world. And it starts here, it ends our service, and it starts our week. Let me pray for us. Lord, I love you. God, thank you for bringing joy into the world. Lord, thank you for living in us. If we've confessed faith in you, we've received your Holy Spirit, and you live in us. And Lord, thank you that your dwelling in us allows us to walk into a room and to instantly be an instrument of joy. Lord, thank you for bringing joy to us, that we can have joy in hard circumstances, because it's your joy comes to us not because of what happened, but because of who you are. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to bring that to the world around us. Help us to bring joy into your world. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this time. Lord, use these final moments that we sing as we declare these words. Use these words to minister to us so that we can minister to those around us. We love you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.